36, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever and ever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that the scriptures can be somewhat tedious. This would be one of those passages where we might be tempted to think this is a little bit tedious, all of this repetition. Let us remember who the author of Scripture is, and that this repetition is not tedious, but good. It is not something that we ought to tire at, but something at which we ought to rejoice, that over and again, the Lord would proclaim in Psalm 136, Ki le'olam chasdo, His mercy endureth forever. And you should hear chesed in that, chasdo, His chesed. That's what the O ending means. His mercy endures forever. His covenant faithfulness endures forever. Now, I would remind you that at every turn here, especially with regard to the children of Israel, and we'll look at it in a moment, that they prove themselves faithless, that they prove themselves not faithful in their covenant commitments. And yet, even during all of that faithlessness on their part and untrustworthiness, the Lord proved Himself faithful over and again. So this is a blessed psalm. It reminds us of God's faithfulness in the midst of our faithlessness. His covenant care, the covenant that He made with Christ, that everlasting covenant, and His fulfilling of that, even though the people that benefit the most from that covenant keeping of His are found faithless. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So, There are several things that the psalm mentions. I counted eight altogether. The first is that this refrain, Ki la'olam hasdo, as you heard, comprises every other line. It speaks of a psalm that is to be sung, right, with a recurring refrain, over and again. His mercy endureth forever. And in our own Psalter, we have it divided, I think, into three different selections. It could be four. It's either three or four different selections, and we do it with different tunes. But still, it is something to be sung. It is specially designed that God's people should have upon their lips the profession of the faithfulness of God. In the last psalm, Psalm 135, we were commanded to praise. Here, we are required in the singing of the psalm to utter this refrain, extolling the covenant fidelity of the Lord. He is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, and remember that all of His promises, while we benefit from them, are essentially in behalf of His own name. That the Lord keeps the promises that He makes because of who He is, to Himself, in other words. All right, then, this covenant election that we see also in this psalm, notice that the mercy of God, the chesed of God, endures forever, but it is only upon certain ones. We have Egypt mentioned in this psalm, and they would not be singing this refrain, would they? Sihon and Og also mentioned, and their kingdoms, the kingdoms of Bashan and so on, the Amorites. They would not be singing this psalm, but the Israelites would. And so there is a distinction, there is an obvious division in the psalm between those who receive the chesed of God and those who do not. All right, so the first command then is, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks. That is the Hebrew word todah. And it is often seen in the Psalter. We are coming up on a national holiday, not a religious holiday, but a civil holiday called Thanksgiving. If you remember when we were talking about holy days of God and holy days of men, that we, in our Puritan forefathers, we looked back in the Bible for such a justification of a civil holiday like Thanksgiving. And the Puritans were very clear, so were the Westminster Divines, that we ought to look to the civil celebration of Purim. The great deliverances of God were celebrated civilly. And so ought we to be thankful. I hope you recognize that every year when we have our holiday of Thanksgiving, that it is a special proclamation on the part of the President of the United States, that every year there is a new proclamation. He issues a new proclamation every year. And you know what that is? That is simply a remnant of our Puritan forefathers who did not want to give the civil magistrate the authority to have a quote-unquote set yearly holiday in such a way that it would be proclaimed once into perpetuity. But that those special occasions of thankfulness might be celebrated, and so there is a special proclamation declaring the fourth Thursday, and it'll take place sometime this month, where the President will once again proclaim to set aside the fourth Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and prayer. All right, so give thanks then. The second is recognition. He is the God of gods, and He is the Lord of lords. And so we ought to recognize Him as such, and as such, His mercy endures forever. The third is His uniqueness. The third recognition here is His uniqueness. He is the only one who does wonders, who only doeth wonders. Now, I know that people are wont to ascribe wonders to all kinds of things. Sometimes they even invent wonders so that they'll have something, right? But our God, He's the only one that does wonders. And the wonders that we're speaking about here, as the psalmist goes on, is number one, creation, and number two, redemption. Creation and redemption. And we'll see this as we move forward. So first, thanksgiving. Second, recognition. Third, uniqueness. The fourth is his office as creator. It is God alone who has created the heavens, the earth, the waters, the lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. All of these things we see as the creation of God. It is God himself who created them. And because he created them, he exercises a special propriety over them. They are his. The fifth is for his redemption. And so we have a few verses in the middle of the psalm speaking about the redemption of the people out of the land of Egypt. They went forth out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea. God divided the Red Sea on one side and on the other, and the Israelites passed through on dry land. And when the Egyptians essayed to do the same, the waters closed upon them. And so through the chesed of God, he made a way for his people. He redeemed them out of the slave house of Egypt. And of course, prophetically, typologically speaking, the redemption out of Egypt is set forth many times in Scripture as a type of our redemption from the slave house of sin, from the bondage of sin, and so on. Sixth, for his protection. So we have thanksgiving, recognition, uniqueness, redemption. Fifth, protection. Notice that God did not bring them out of the land of Egypt, caused them to pass through the Red Sea, and then left them alone in the wilderness. But as they traveled toward the promised land, they needed to travel on the eastern side of the Jordan, you remember? And so they traveled. They crossed the Jordan River down south, and they traveled up north along the lands of Edom and the Amorites and the Bashanites. And remember that those two northern kings came out against them, Og and Sihon. And not only did the Lord bring them out of Egypt and brought them safely to that Transjordanic land, but when those kings rose up against them, they fell before the Israelites under the hand of God. And so what the psalmist would have us know here is not only does the Lord redeem us, but he sustains us. He does not simply redeem us and then leave us to nothing. He does not simply redeem us and leave us to our own devices. He redeems us and he sustains us. So the sixth is for his protection and sustaining grace. The seventh, we extol the Lord. We recognize his mercy endures forever because of our inheritance. And so after Og and Bashan were bested, those lands, those eastern lands there on the eastern side of the Jordan, they became the land of Israel, occupied by what we now call the Transjordanic tribes. And then they inserted themselves into the land at Gilead. Gilgal. And when they inserted themselves into the land at Gilgal, they stopped and they worshiped the Lord. And then they went into the land under Joshua and they received their inheritance. And so not only does God redeem us, not only does he sustain us, but he brings us all the way home. That's what the psalmist is telling us here in Psalm 136. Then the eighth is redemption again. As long as need arises. Notice he says, he hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. And so now, even though we are home, even though we are in the land of promise and enjoying our inheritance, when our enemies rise up, when they would take that inheritance away, notice the psalmist says that his mercy continues to endure forever because he hath redeemed us from our enemies. All right, then 25, verse 25, the Lord's providential care over all things, notice, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And here, I believe, is a veiled reference in Psalm 136 to the redemption of the Lord that will go from sea to sea, from one end of the earth to the other. And so he giveth food to all flesh, not just Israel, and not limited to marching out of Egypt up the eastern edge of the the western edge of the Transjordanic area, not only in the besting of Og and Sihon. Well, there you go. Not only in the throwing out of the Canaanite tribes and giving them that land of inheritance as well, but notice to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, we see that the mercy of God endures forever and ever. So, oh, give thanks. Once again, we begin where we started, as we so often do in the Psalter. The last verse of the psalm and the first verse of the psalm have the same sentiment. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.